This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
We are reading from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This is the gospel of our Lord. Now you may be seated. Now, we all read a psalm reading today, correct? Now, if you were to ask anyone their favorite Bible passage, you know, I'm sure you'll get a variety of answers. But if you ask anyone what their favorite psalm would be, about 9 times or 8 times out of every 10, guess what they would pick? Psalm 23. More often than not, you'll hear them answer that. People love all of those comforting, beautiful, peaceful, tranquil sounding words, don't they? You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, that doesn't mean you don't want the Lord. It means you will have no need for begging. You will not be in need. You will not be in want. And that line assures us that God, the Lord, the Good Shepherd, will meet all of our needs. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. You know, that sounds really peaceful and tranquil, doesn't it? Lie down in those green pastures, and it's so peaceful and comforting. And then he leads me beside the still waters, and that again all sounds so calm and soothing. You know, if you look on any of these websites, you go to Amazon or all these other places where it talks about calm and tranquility and all that, 9 times out of 10, they'll try to sell you a recording of a babbling brook with the water gently running over the stones, and it sounds so quiet and peaceful and tranquil, and it's just going to put you to sleep. Because that's what it's designed to do. It's designed to relax you to the point where you can go to sleep. And it sounds, of course, it sounds soothing, and he restores my soul. So he builds us up. He restores us. He restores what's broken. He restores that stuff inside of us that's been unraveled by the noise and the confusion of the world. And he leads me in paths of righteousness. What that means is he's going to lead us the right direction. God will never lead you in the wrong direction. You can know that. You can be assured of that. And it says it right here. And why does he do that? For his name's sake. So more people can be attracted to him. More people can come into his family. And in our case, more people can get saved. If they see signs of a redemptive life through us, they're going to be attracted to Jesus. They say, well, yeah, you know, he's different. But in a good way, I want to be like that. So he does it for his name's sake. But let's check out some of those other lines in this psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This gets down to the nitty-gritty. We may at some point come to face with danger. We may face some tough situations in which we have to deal with some desperate life or death choices. How about the possibility that one of our loved ones is on life support with no hope for survival? The doctors are telling us to let the loved one go. And I actually honestly remember that very thing. It's been now 8 years ago when my dad had two bad heart valves and leukemia along with it. We were at the heart hospital in Little Rock, Arkansas, and this heart specialist who was attending to him took me out in the hall and said, "Why don't you let him go? There's no possibility that he would survive any kind of heart surgery. I've talked with him. He's ready." I couldn't do it. So he hung on for two more weeks. We moved him back to Texarkana, and on Friday, the attending physician there said, "I know you believe that God heals, and I know your stepmother does too. So why don't we take him off the Levofed? If he's going to live, he's going to live." And I said, fighting back the tears like I'm doing now, "Okay." And that Sunday morning at about 3 a.m., he went home to be with Jesus. He's fine now. But you see, that was a life or death choice. My dad spent 3 weeks in the valley of the shadow. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." That was the only consolation I had at that time, was that God, the Lord, was with me. And this verse will give us the faith and the courage to stand strong in those times when there is danger or a life or death choice. "And for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." This is why we have the courage to stand in those times of adversity. He is with us. We know that he stands by our side, ready to rise to our defense. And that rod and the staff, that means he can fight off the enemies that are close by, and he can fight off the ones that are a little farther, because that rod is for the in close, and the staff is for the ones who are farther away. The Lord can actually defend us from all comers, whether they be near or whether they be far. So there's no need to fear. We can rest and be at peace, for as he would say through Isaiah a couple of hundred years later, "No weapon formed against me will prosper." In Christ there is victory. For Paul reminds us that he always leads us in triumphal procession. We may have to see that enemy. We will most likely have to face that enemy. But in it all and through it all, he's provided for us, because that psalm also says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." What does that mean? It means that your enemy may be close enough and threatening enough to be close by. But what does he say he's going to do? He's going to prepare dinner. Say, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, we're being attacked by the enemy and he's going to invite us to the table. What that means is that he is so confident of his protection of us, and we can be so confident of his protection for us, that even though those enemies may be knocking at the door, trying to bash the door in and get to us, but we can be calm and know that his protection is right there. He says, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over." That anointing, that goodness, that provision is enough. His covering, his blessing, the anointing and the empowering that he provides is adequate enough. It's enough not because he barely provides, but because it overflows. "Then surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." 2 or 3 years ago, I was the chapel speaker at school, and I had two of my kids in my class, and I had one of them put on a sign that said goodness and another one that had mercy. And I strolled around the stage bemoaning all of the situations of our lives. And I turned around and I said, "Well, surely goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life." But it was a vivid illustration by the fact that God is not going to abandon us in any kind of situation. He's not going to leave us hanging. He's going to reach down that hand in the middle of those waves and pull us up. Because surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord for how long?
Forever.
God's goodness and his mercy are always with us. He's there all along in those life and death choices, in danger, in adversity. His goodness and mercy are still with us, even when our enemies, whether it's a literal enemy or a really bad problem, or a habit we can't lick on our own, and they look like they're going to get the best of us. We can see the enemy, and we can almost imagine that the tormenting demons are laughing at us because we're so stressed out at that moment. But he has us covered, because his rod and staff, they comfort us. And surely goodness and mercy will be with us all the days of our lives, and we can dwell in the house of our Lord forever. See, now we can come to the gospel passage, because Jesus says, hey, you know, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep know me. They hear my voice. And he talks about the thief and the robber who tries to break in by coming in through the window and not coming in through the gate. But Jesus tells us in those moments that he's going to take care of it. And not only that, he upped the ante a little bit. He says, I will lay down my life for my sheep. And it's like he was going to say a few weeks or months later in John chapter 15. Greater love has no one than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. Are we like that one with the greater love? Or, let's take stock of ourselves, are we like that hireling who's going to take off when the chips are down? See, that passage there is a question as well as a statement. It's intended for us to evaluate who we are and where we are and how strong in our faith we are. Are we going to trust in that shepherd? Or are we going to be like the hireling and take off? Now, yes, Jesus was using the hireling to illustrate the Pharisees. The fact is that they weren't going to lay down their life for any sheep. They were enjoying the good life. They were enjoying the status. They were enjoying the camaraderie of being in charge and being the leaders. But Jesus asked us, are you going to be a hireling? Or are you going to be with me, the shepherd? Because I know you. Does that comfort us to know that he knows us really that well? And if you were honest, we might also want to admit that sometimes that might make us a little uncomfortable, because he knows us really well. But let's have confidence in that good shepherd. He laid down his life for his sheep. And he's going to call us by name. So let's be listening. When he calls, let's hear. And let's go boldly to that good shepherd today, and every day from now on, with confidence, because we know we can trust him in any and all of life's situations and struggles. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.